So in December, I went on this prayer retreat, just simply just to be with Jesus and to listen to like what he had to say to me. And right before I went on this retreat, someone handed me this book called Lead with Prayer. And I was like, all right, cool. So I felt led to take it on the retreat. I took this in my Bible, and I got to read about 3/4 of it. And you know when you read a book and you're like, that book changed my life? This was one of those books for me. I thought I prayed a lot until I read this book, and I was like, man, there's a whole nother level of relationship with Jesus that I can go into. And not only just with me personally, but us corporately as a community, as a church, or praying with other people. And this book changed my life. And one of the things that God did on this retreat is I didn't go with an agenda. I just went just to be with him and to listen. And he gave me this triple confirmation of a word named conditions. And it was just through a series of 3 days, this word conditions came up 3 times. You know, something comes up 3 times, you're like, that's like a sign, like that's not coincidence, right? And I walked away with, man, God has some conditions for us that he wants us to meet as a church for him to move in the ways that he wants to move. And one of them is through prayer. And so today, we're gonna start off a new series on the power of prayer. And how do you actually pray, right? How do you do it? And then how do you actually see answers to your prayers? Because how many of y'all pray and you're like, I didn't really see God move the way I wanted him to or thought he would? Anyone in that category? I'm in that category, right? Or how many are like, I pray all the time and 100% of my prayers are answered? Richie, of course, right? Richie. I'm on the other end, right? It's like, man, how do I grow my relationship with Jesus and pray his heart and his will for situations and see him move and work? So whenever we start off a new series, a message series, I always give away a book that I think is really impactful that highlights that series. So we're going to give away this Lead with Prayer book to the first person that raises their hand and says, that book is for me. So if it's in your heart and you want a book on prayer to lead with prayer, if you think you're called to be a leader in the kingdom of God, this book is for you.
You know it's mine, bro.
All right. I mean, good. It's a good book, man. That book changed my heart and my life, and I think you'll really enjoy it. So today, we're going to look at persevering in prayer. How do you persevere in prayer? So if you have your Bible, we'll have you open up to 1 Kings chapter 18. And if you need a paper Bible, we have those. Just raise your hand and we'll get those to you. And if you don't have a Bible at home and you get one of those paper Bibles, you can keep that Bible if you don't have one at home. So 1 Kings 18, this is going to be in the Old Testament, so before Jesus. And if you're not sure where that's at, you can look in your table of contents in the front, and that will show you where you can find 1 Kings. And so you get the 1 Kings 18. We're going to look at verses 41 through 46. And what we'll have you do is we'll have you read the scriptures for yourself before we go through them as a church. And the idea is we're wanting you to learn how to dig into the scriptures more deeply yourself. And so as you read 1 Kings 18, 41 through 46, you can ask yourself this question, like what words or what phrases are sticking out with me? What's something I have a question about? What's something that is maybe challenging to me? Hey, this character is doing this. Why are they doing this? This is really different. So just ask some curious questions of the scriptures yourself. So 1 Kings 18, 41 through 46. Now, how many of you ever read this story in the Bible before or heard it? Anyone heard this one? How many, this is a new one for you? Yeah, it's about half and half. This is one of those really interesting stories. Like, it's one of those nuggets when you look through the Old Testament. Maybe you don't read as much, but you're like, and there's someone in there that prayed, and there was a direct response to prayer. And so this morning, we're going to study this scripture to learn how do you receive a direct response to your prayer for Jesus to move in your life and the world around you. To give you some context, you don't need to turn there, but this is in the chapter prior, in chapter 17, verse 1, the prophet Elijah, who we're reading about here, he declared this word. He said, there's going to be a drought in this land. There's not going to be any rain for a few years. So he didn't give a specific amount of years. I mean, it was a few years. It's going to be a period of time where there's going to be no rain. Nothing's coming. It's going to be a drought. And then he said that to the king, and then he ran away for a period of time. And as this all going on, the king of Israel, King Ahab, he employs and his wife employs all these different priests that worship a different god from a different religion. They don't worship Yahweh, the God of the Israelites. And so this false religion had taken over all the Israelites. So this would be like In our country, if the presidency started hiring Satanists in people who do witchcraft and do all that stuff, that they actually started operating in all of our country at the government level. So this is what was actually going on in Israel, is that the government had hired people to begin to do this. And so Elijah shows up. There's all these prophets there, a couple hundred of them. And Elijah challenges them to basically kind of a spiritual duel. And they set up two sacrifices. And one of the sacrifices is for the prophets that were on the other side, not God's prophets. And then Elijah had his prophet. And so those prophets were yelling and screaming to their God, and they were cutting themselves and they're bleeding, and they were trying to get fire to fall on their sacrifice. And so Elijah's there, you know, making fun of them, saying all these things of why it's not happening. And then Elijah says, hey, get all this water and pour it all over my sacrifice. So they're literally dumping all this water. It's filling a moat around it. And then all of a sudden, fire falls from heaven. It burns up Elijah's sacrifice. And Elijah says, this is kind of crazy. He said, all those prophets over there, those false prophets, get them. We're going to kill them all. And they literally take them to this valley and they execute all the false prophets. And you're like, that is the weirdest thing. What's going on? What God is actually doing is he's cleansing them spiritually, because they had turned away from following Yahweh, the God of the Israelites. For us, yeah, they'd be Jesus. We believe in him as a church. And they turned away and they were basically having spiritual adultery on God. So it's like if you're married and you find out your spouse is having adultery with someone else, that's exactly what was going on between God's people and God. They were having spiritual adultery. So there was this confrontation that took place, which leads us to this very thing. So if you're like, what's the context? That's the context that leads to Elijah running to do this. So if you read with me here, verses 41 and 42, this is the power of a word from God in intercessory prayer. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. So now God's word can be fulfilled. Because you remember how he declared there was going to be a drought for a few years? Did you notice that what took place between this moment here we just read and the drought is Israel was spiritually cleansed? So they turned from having spiritual adultery against Yahweh by having fallen to other gods and worshiping other gods, then to turning back to Yahweh. And so if you look what Elijah did, this is going to be key for your prayer life. He went to Mount Carmel. So he climbed this mountain and he went and he prayed. So he went to an undistracted place. How many of y'all got your cell phone with you today? Like everyone, right? How many times has it already been buzzing? Anyone ever felt the buzzing going on? Yeah, about half, right? And so think about, what's that? Oh yeah, yeah, last week yours was going off. Yeah. And so, yeah, you gotta turn that thing off. That's what I do. Oh yeah, right? Yeah. And so for me, like kind of like that, what Jaime was saying, is like when I go to pray, I put on do not disturb, because man, that phone just goes off, and you got to find that undistracted place like Elijah did. He went alone to pray. But man, I know y'all are really popular, and so you've been hitting up on Instagram and all this stuff's coming up, right? All these things are going off, Twitter, all your new stuff. Man, could you imagine if you're going to like lunch with someone and you really want to connect with them and get to know them, and they're just like on their phone the whole time, and they're like, you're like, hey, this is kind of disrespectful. Like, well, I'm here to know you. Like, I'm even paying for your meal. Like, I want to hang out with you. And you're not even paying attention. Well, that's how it is with us and Jesus when we have all these distractions going in our lives with him, when we have that dedicated time to him. But Elijah sets the example. He runs to an undistracted place to be alone with God. And did you know what he did next? He bowed low to the ground. He literally, I did this last week. It's not his buddy. He got on his knees like this, and he put his face like this on the ground. I mean, y'all know what the mud smells like? I do. I just smell it right now, right? But that's what Elijah did. He was out in a mountain, right? And he got low. He bowed in humility before God, and he put his head between his knees. I mean, two things. One, that's the most vulnerable position, because if someone's going to come and kick you, like, that's the time they're going to do it, right? And then two, that's saying, like, I am putting myself before you, God, in this position to say, you are God, and you are worthy, and I'm humbling myself. And then his face between his knees, you got to ask, like, face between his knees? Why would he put his face between his knees? Maybe he, like, was resting his head, because if he's praying for a long time. This is what I think he was doing. He was doing intercessory prayer. He was actually interceding for the word of God to come to pass. Because remember, he said, it's not going to rain for a few years. And now he says, a big rainstorm's coming. Watch what's going to happen. So here's what intercessory prayer is, if you want to catch this. It's divine strength or ability to stand in the gap in prayer for someone, something, or someplace, believing for profound results. I'll say it one more time. So it's intercessory prayer is divine strength. So the Holy Spirit gives you strength and the ability to stand in the gap in prayer. So it's like if Tony's right here and Jaime's right here, and we say, Tony, I'm gonna get the bad guy today. If Tony's like Satan coming at Jaime's life, right, with all these things trying to barrage him and destroy his life, but I'm praying for Jaime, which I do every day. So if you're part of a rich, you get prayer every day. I pray for you by name. And so what I do is in prayer, I step between Jaime and Tony, who today is the bad guy. He's actually a great guy. And then I cry out to Jesus. Jesus, protect Jaime. Jesus, defend him. Jesus, deliver him from the evil one. Jesus, give Jaime peace. Give him focus on your word. Right? So then I stood in the gap for Jaime, interceding on behalf of him through Jesus with the situation that was going on. That's exactly what intercessory prayer is. So when you pray, your prayers make a huge difference. Your prayers make a huge difference. Could you imagine if all this stuff was going on in Jaime's life and I wasn't praying for him? What do you think Satan's going to do? Satan's going to barrage his life, right? But when we come together, we hold up our shield of faith to protect people through prayer. It actually cuts off the schemes of the enemy. So when you're praying for people, I was talking with someone earlier, Sayla and I were talking. She's been praying for someone and God has been answering her prayers in a really cool, tangible way that she'll probably share at some point. But imagine if she wasn't praying for that person. Like, God would not be answering those prayers. And this is key, is believing for profound results. So when you pray, believe that Jesus is going to do what he says he's going to do, that Jesus will do it. And so he had a word from God. Elijah had a word. It wasn't going to rain. And then he said, it is going to rain. So you have to understand that God is the one who spoke to him that word. It wasn't of his own will, right? So how many of you can just say to the weather, do this, and it'll do it? Like, we can't control the weather. Maybe some of you can, but I can't do that, right? But Jesus can do it. So a couple weeks ago, I know someone pointed Richie. So a couple weeks ago, we had a big rainstorm, and Richie prayed a very bold prayer on Friday night. We were together doing seat sowing. He prayed very specific streets around here that it would not rain. So if you showed up that Sunday morning, we met under the overhang, literally blue sky and sun around the exact streets, storm clouds all the way around the outside. You know when it started raining? After we loaded up the vehicle. So when you pray and you believe that Jesus is going to do what he says he's going to do according to his written word, or a word he gives you in your spirit or in your heart, he will accomplish that. He will fulfill it. And so the Holy Spirit is our teacher in prayer. So there's people who are like, oh, I love praying. And some people are like, man, praying is so hard. Like, I feel like I'm just kind of like trudging through mud or like grinding gears. The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us. So if you look at Elijah's example, he got on his knees and he put his face on the ground and he began to pray. So when we humble ourselves before the Holy Spirit, we say, Holy Spirit, will you teach me to pray? Because I don't know how to pray. I don't even like praying, to be honest with you. Like, but I want to do it. Holy Spirit, give me a thirst. Give me a hunger for prayer. Give me a desire to be in your presence. I can guarantee you that is a prayer that the Holy Spirit will answer, because Jesus loves to spend time with you. Because he died for you, just so you could have that relationship, right? So the Holy Spirit. And ask to hear God's voice. Like, if you're like, I don't even know how to hear from God, just say, Holy Spirit, teach me to hear your voice. And then just begin to listen, and he'll speak to you. Also, ask for promises. So God wants to give you promises for your life. And when you ask for those promises, he's going to give them to you. And did you notice Elijah got the promise about it's not going to rain for a few years prior, right? But then he knew it was going to be fulfilled. So he had a word from God. So if you guys say, God, I got this situation with my kids, or like a job, or like a spouse for my future, like, I want a word from you. Because God always has his best for you. And if you ask God for a word, he'll give it to you. And then you have to persevere in prayer until that word comes to pass. And I don't know if you all had like your engine like with oil like leaked out, or if you've ever done an engine without oil. What happens to that engine if you run it without oil eventually? It breaks apart, right? Because there's nothing to lubricate on the inside. So if you pray without the grace of the Holy Spirit in your life, you'll be like an engine without oil. And so if you want a prayer life that is filled and you're like, I enjoy praying, it's the Holy Spirit who's the key, who gives you the grace and the ability to pray. Now check out verses 43 and 44. Then he said to his servant, go and look out toward the sea. The servant went and looked and returned to Elijah and said, I didn't see anything. Seven times Elijah told him to go and look, and finally the seventh time his servant told him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. Then Elijah shouted, hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. So Elijah, he persevered in prayer until there was a breakthrough. Could you imagine being there and you're the servant of Elijah, you're learning about prayer, and Elijah's like, go look at the ocean. And you run, who knows how far it is, right? He had to run and look at the ocean. There's the ocean. He said, run back. Elijah, I didn't see anything. Well, all right, go back again. Could you imagine that your guy who you're like following, your leader, is like, keep running back. You're like, you just want me to work out today? Like, what is the point of me going? And then the seventh time, you're like, something's different. Now stick out your hand real quick, like this. And you see like far, you're like, oh, there's a side of like a little cloud the size of a hand. And then he's like, what? That's the only thing that's different, Elijah. Like, there's this little cloud. He's like, perfect. That's exactly what needed to happen. And Elijah's like, go run to Ahab and tell him, you better get out of here because the rain's coming and it's going to blow away your chariot with the torrents that are coming. And so you just see Elijah's servant. That dude had to learn how to pray because he got around a person of prayer. So prayer is often more caught than taught, because I can be up here all day teaching you about prayer. But it's the Holy Spirit who's gonna show you how to pray, and it's getting around people who have a spirit of prayer in their lives. And I want to just clarify this, because sometimes people say, well, prayer is a spiritual gift. Prayer is actually not a spiritual gift. Prayer is simply your relationship with Jesus. So the more you seek to grow your relationship with Jesus, the more your prayer life will follow that, because it's about communion with Him. And so if you're like, man, I want to learn how to pray or get around people who pray, the first Friday of every month, we gather at our house, which is like 5 minutes south from here, at 7 p.m. the first Friday, and we pray. We get together and we just pray over the church and things that are going on for each other. We got to pray for someone last week, and the Lord really supported that person, which was cool. So come out and pray. If you're like, I don't know how to pray, I'll just sit there and like listen to you guys pray, because you just want to be around prayer to really catch it. Come on out. And then also too, on April 12th, it is the second Saturday going into Dead Week. So I looked at the APU calendar for this one. So it's a good time. We're going to go on a prayer retreat. It's free to anybody that wants to come. We're going to the LA Arboretum from 9 to 12. We're just going to have a prayer retreat together. And then we're going to provide lunch for you. So if you're like, man, I want to learn how to pray, I want to learn how to like read my Bible or just get some solitude or be with people who are praying, we're going to do a prayer retreat as a church. So notice when Elijah was praying, he had specific information that God gave him, that God spoke to him, and he took it. So seven times is the number of completion in Scripture. It's very important. So God was actually fulfilling something. Because when you think about what God was doing in Elijah while he was praying, Elijah was pressing into the Lord. What do you think was going on with the servant while he was praying? He was learning how to pray. So what if Elijah would have stopped the first time the servant came back? There's nothing there. Oh, I give up. Let's go back down the mountain. Or the second time, or the fifth or sixth time, the word would not have been fulfilled. It would have been aborted. So in the same way, what happens if you stop praying? Yeah, it's not like the prayer will not be answered, because you have to pray through until there's a breakthrough. In Luke 18:1, Jesus told a parable, but he said you would pray and not give up, because Jesus does not want you to give up in prayer. He wants you to be able to persevere and push through. The Lord spoke this to me in church planting, and this is so applicable to all of our lives. You only lose if you give up. So you only lose if you give up. The moment you give up is the moment you lose. But if you keep standing strong, or if you don't even stand strong and you fall, Proverbs says a righteous person falls six times and gets up seven. So as long as you keep moving forward, even if you feel like you're going through mud, like you just keep moving forward and don't give up. I found one of Satan's biggest tactics as we pray through a word until it comes to pass is discouragement. Hey, that word that God gave you, it's not going to come to pass. Like, you see all that sin you committed last week? You see what you were looking at? Like, Satan's going to throw all these things your way to get you discouraged so that you'll give up. But if you say, hey, actually, Satan, I don't know if you read the Bible, but I think you have because you quoted to Jesus. But Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm not condemned. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. So your lies are lies. Get away from me. Right? So if you respond with the word of God back to Satan's discouragement, he's going to leave you, right? So it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Meredith and I went through a season when we started planning the church of discouragement. We'd make up Sunday morning. It was just the heaviest discouragement. One day I said something to her, she's like, I've been feeling that too. I'm like, man, he's been coming at us with discouragement. But you know what we did? We got on our knees. We sought the Lord. And now every morning we wake up on Sunday, we're like, we're doing this with Jesus. And we're excited to be here. But we had to push through discouragement. And I'll tell you this too. Before we hit the park, I wanted to quit church planting 6 times. It was literally that hard for us to even get to the park with the spiritual warfare that we face. 6 times I was like, I'm ready to be done. I'm ready to stay in higher ed. Like, I'm ready to just not do this. But we pushed through. Imagine if we would have gave up 1, 2, 3, 4. This we wouldn't be here today. The people we've seen saved, people we've seen get literally physically healed, people getting restored and set free from stuff. Like, think why Satan wanted us to stop, right? Because this is just the beginning. There's going to be hundreds of people whose lives are transformed by Jesus. So fulfillment starts with a cloud and then builds into a storm. And so are the answers with many of your prayers. You're going to pray, and you're going to pray, and you're going to pray, and you're going to keep looking, and you're not going to see anything on the horizon. But then the 7th time you're going to look, and you're going to see a small cloud the size of a person's hand off in the distance, and you're going to say, it's happening. It's happening. Jesus is answering my prayer. He's beginning to move in my heart, in my life. He's beginning to change this person's life. He's beginning to provide provision. And so, if you continue to pray and push through until you see that cloud coming, it'll happen. Notice this. For the drought to end, there had to be a spiritual cleansing, right? So Israel had to be spiritually cleansed, and then there had to be a time of intercessory prayer. So it's super key in your life. If you're like, man, I need a breakthrough in this. Is there anything in your life that you need to get right with Jesus about? Maybe it's just like your whole life. Maybe you're like, man, I just need to give my whole life to him. Or maybe there's this thing I've been holding back from him. Like, I need to give this to him or give him permission to come in and take over this area of my life. So there needs to be a spiritual cleansing. And then there needs to be a time of prayer, really seeking the Lord for that breakthrough, even if it takes that few years, right? Did you know, I don't know if you read, like, in quotes, a few years. Like, Jesus says he's coming back soon. You're like, he's coming back in 2,000 years. It might take 2,000 years for your prayers to be answered, right? But it might take some time longer than you think. But if you keep pressing through and you keep seeking Jesus and you don't give up, Jesus will bring breakthrough for you. So look at verses 45 and 46. As soon as the sky was black with clouds, a heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly to Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak in his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. That's good news. The word was fulfilled. The word was fulfilled. And it happened. How many of you have been pressing into a goal in your life, or you've had this goal you like really pressed into? I know some of you are doing like 75 hard. Like, that's a huge goal, right? You got a goal in your personal life, like swim. You got goals with your career. You got goals with, you know, education. I mean, y'all work hard, right? You put in a ton of effort. And then when you hit that finish line for whatever your goal is, how do you often feel? You're like so proud of yourself, right? Because you put in the effort and you worked so hard to do it, and God gave you the grace to succeed. And that's how it is in prayer. The word will be fulfilled. You get a word from God and you don't give up and you pray and you do exactly what he says to do, he will fulfill that word for you, because he is for you and not against you. Jesus is a good God. How many of y'all can outrun a chariot? Okay, some faster. Hey. So Elijah stood up, tucked his cloak in. He's like, I'm going to sprint. I got my Nikes. And this dude jetted. So God gave him supernatural strength to outrun a chariot. I mean, that's like, you know, 2, 3, 4 horses pulling someone. And he outran horses. So he had supernatural empowerment through his intercession and God's spirit. So when you go into a time of intercession and you have the breakthrough, God is going to empower you by his spirit to fulfill what he's called you to do. You won't be able to do it in your own strength, but God will give you the ability to do that. So learning how to persevere in prayers. So if it takes a few years, how will you persevere? How will you not give up? How will you stay encouraged who are you going to get around that's going to encourage you and tell you you can do this? And God is for you and he's got you. Who are going to be the people, the Elijahs in your corner that are going to pray for you and you can learn from and that you can journey with? So I have a few words throughout my life that I pray weekly. I got a word, a destiny word, when I was 29 at this conference. I had this encounter with God. I wasn't planning on it. God showed up and I had this really powerful vision. I'm 37 this year and I have not seen it come to pass. But every week I have a reminder. It comes up in my phone, a Google task, and I pray over that word. And I'm praying and believing that that word will take place. Last fall, we were at the park already. I had a dream. And we can see in scripture that God speaks through dreams, so dreams are biblical. And in the dream, I had my two hands held out. I'm holding with a mic, but imagine the other one's here. In each hand, I had a shell. And I was trying to force the shells to multiply in my own strength. But obviously, I couldn't do it. And then I just simply stopped trying to force it, and I believed. And then in the moment I believed, each shell multiplied into two shells. And then the next scene in the dream, my hands were out. I don't know if you've ever been to Hawaii and seen like the green sands in Hawaii before, those like cool beaches. There were these little sand, pieces of sand, they're like gems. And they began to flow endlessly, thousands upon, probably hundreds of thousands, out of my hand, all around my hand in a 360 direction. And that was the dream. And I knew when I woke up instantly what it meant. The shells is church multiplication. So we're going to be a church planting church that will actually plant churches that plant churches that plant churches. And the sand, the little gems that were green, that's discipleship multiplication. So everybody will be that wants it will disciple anyone that wants discipleship. And then they'll go off and disciple others who will disciple others and disciple others to where I believe that this will actually export to the nations what God wants to do here. That's a pretty lofty dream, right? And I'm not even a year in, but I'm praying over that dream every week. It might take 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. I don't know. But I am committed to praying because God gave me a word and God will fulfill the word. God will not fail you. God does not lie. God is a God of truth. And if God speaks to you, God will do it. And so we have to persevere in prayer. And when you get a word, write it down. Like write it in a Google Doc. Write it somewhere you can keep it and you will have it forever. Because you guys remember what you had for breakfast last Wednesday? Unless you have the same thing every day. Or if you had like, you know, we had for snack on Friday afternoon, or like what your odometer is at right now. Like you look at it every day, right? But you don't remember. In the same way, if we get a word from God and we don't write it down, it just like where to go. But write it down and keep it before you, because that will keep you encouraged and give you faith and pray over that word consistently. I do it weekly on a personal level. So if you're in a spiritual drought in this season, there's good news. A storm is coming, right? And it's going to flood your land with water. And water in scripture is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is going to give you spiritual life. So if it's spiritual drought, just like we saw with the Israelites being cleansed, right, of their spiritual adultery, we have to ask ourselves the question, is there anything in my life that is blocking me from Jesus? Right? Is there any sin or anything that he just wants me to get out of the way so I can have that stronger connection with him? This will begin to remove what's causing the spiritual drought. And then simply just get on your knees. Like when you're at home, like just go in your room or wherever you are. I often do my prayer in the living room. I get up early and I pray. And just get on your knees and get on your face and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to pray. I feel like I'm just like an engine without oil. But I ask you to give me oil. I want to learn how to pray. Will you show me? Will you teach me how to pray? And so your spiritual renewal is guaranteed through Jesus with the Holy Spirit. So if you want a spiritual life, you're like, man, I love my relationship with God. I love getting up every day. I have purpose. I have mission. Jesus is the one who do that through the work of the Holy Spirit in you. So I have something for you here. You know, you can find anything on Amazon nowadays. You just Google it in Amazon, and there it is. All right, I have these clouds because I want you to take something home today. And Tony, would you help hand these out? Thank you so much. So this is a really small cloud. It's like maybe 2 inches by 3 inches. And if you look at this cloud from here, if you look this way, it's about the size of a person's hand in the distance you put up your hand, right? But what happened is that cloud became closer and closer and closer, and to where it was no longer a cloud, it was a giant storm that overtook the entire sky. It was all that the person could see.
Yeah, so I like what Rick did, right? He just went like this. He held it out and he put it right up to his eyes where it was literally the only thing he could see. But that's what prayer is. When you persevere in prayer, it's gonna come until it overtakes your life. Because you know who couldn't stop that rainstorm? Was Satan, right? Because he had already been wiped out when the prophets were executed, when they dealt with their sin. And nothing can stop God. When God moves in your life, nothing can stop him. He will move, and no person, no man, no woman, no child, no financial issue, no demonic issue. Like, when God moves in your life, everything will move out of the way, and Jesus will come through for you and for your family, whatever you're seeking him about. So I want you to take a moment to reflect and say, man, what is this cloud sticker in my life? Like, what is it that I am praying for? What is it that I'm really going after? I want to see God do in my life? Because that cloud might not even be there yet, right? It might be behind your back. It's like not there. But what is the thing that I am pressing in for and believing God for? You can even write on the cloud. I mean, do whatever you want. It's your cloud, right? You can stick it somewhere at work, at your desk, or on your water bottle. Stick it in your Bible. But what is the thing that you're believing God for that this cloud represents for you? And if you're like, man, I just feel like I'm in a spiritual desert, take a moment to reflect and say, all right, Jesus, are there any things in my life that I am worshiping besides you that have gotten in the way of my relationship with you? And if you're willing, maybe move it out of the way, right? Get rid of it. And that will release God's reign in your life. So take 1 or 2 minutes now to reflect on, what does this cloud sticker mean to you? And what do you need to do in your land to get rid of the drought?
These are crazy. No, Lord, please help us with the bees problem, because it was distracting me. All right. I first came to Christ 4 years ago. And 4 years ago, if you were to tell me the word gospel, what came to my mind was probably Easter, maybe. If not Easter, Christmas. But even then, like, Santa Claus kind of takes up the show. But the more I got to understand who Jesus was, the more I understood the gospel. And it radically changed, as well as my heart. And so the gospel was written before the start of time. When God created the heavens and the earth, he was so loving to create us in his image. In the garden, before the fall, he chose us. And when we chose to go against his order, another direction, when we fell short, sin entered the garden, separating us and causing death. When I think of sin, I think of when I would lie to my parents to hang out with friends. I also think of when it was a dark time in my life when I actually wanted to end it all. I even think about other people's sin, right? When my father, he cheated on my mom, which caused divorce in the family. So sin separates us and leads us to death. When we sin, our God, God of Israel that we read, God that knows the number of hairs on your head, that God loved us so much that he had a plan to bring heaven on earth. 2,000 years ago, he bought us Jesus Christ, y'all. His one and only son, born from Mary, who lived a perfect life so that we may know God. That's it. So we may know him. In Mark, Jesus told his disciples in chapter 8, verse 31-32, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. This is good news, guys. Jesus took on the sin that you and I, the sin that we have, he took that all on him, became sin on that cross, which is crazy, but defeated it. He rose again 3 days later, appeared to 500 people, according to Paul. And now we're here, which is crazy, y'all. This is why we're here, because he did that. So I just want to ask you, if you want to know Christ the way I know Christ, want to know the power of his resurrection, want to be transformed. I have so many stories of God healing my family, y'all. It's crazy. He meets us and he answers our prayers. I invite y'all to be bold, to raise your hand. If you already accepted Christ, amen. Give me a second. Okay, I was like, I got you. Okay, if you want to talk to me after and just pray, that'll be great too. But yeah, thanks for hearing my story.
Thanks, Cassie. Yeah, and so Cassie's story is how Jesus changed her life and how she came to know him. So if you want to start that relationship with Jesus today, I'm going to ask him to forgive you your sins and believe he rose from the dead. It's simple as that. And you have that relationship with God. So connect with us after service. I mean, that's a brief name tag, and we can share more with you. We're going to invite you to stand, and Selah is going to lead us in a closing song, and then we'll end in prayer together.